Hello, welcome to the Stubborn Tortoise Podcast. I'm Donna Pazdera. So, yes, I finally have new content. It's just been sort of interesting the last few weeks trying to set up interviews with people and get everything nailed down and eclipse something. I don't know. But I've got a good one for you today. Robert Gonzalez is my guest. He is a San Antonio native. He is 74 years old. I probably shouldn't have said it like that, like it's astonishing, but his story is pretty astonishing. He has been running, but for quite a while, but then he kind of fell off of it and then got back to it again not too long ago. And he'll tell you his story. But I think probably what is the most interesting thing, I'm not going to give away everything because I think I need you to listen. But he did his first 50K about a month ago at the Prickly Pear. He's really tough. He got injured, and I'm not going to tell you how or what or anything like that, but he's recovering from an injury. Okay. And he can't wait to get back to it again. And he has some pretty big goals. So, I think that's all I'm going to tell you right now. I do try to explain certain things, different parks that we talk about or people, just so you can kind of hang on and know what I'm talking about. He does talk about Christy. She's one of our coaches. Roxanne is his daughter, who's 39. And she, is his encourager. In fact, she helped us get set up for this interview on Zoom on Sunday. So I'm going to stop talking and let you listen to my conversation. Oh, yeah, and it's a little funny at the beginning because we just were sort of, things happened. And then my cat started crying for food, and so I had to pause the interview. But I almost never edit my podcast just because I want them to be authentic, and I'm not going to polish it. So anyway, here's my interview with Robert Gonzalez. Okay, we are recording. Sorry about that. Yes. Probably one of them will come visit.
Should I click got it?
I'm sorry?
Should I click got it? Because there's a little thing up there on your screen.
I use the gallery, which just puts us side by side. Oh, thank you, Roxanne. Okay, good. I got indoctrinated to this about 4 years ago because I teach. Everything went online, so I had to learn how to do it in a hurry.
Technology.
What's that?
Technology.
I know. It's also kind of fun when my students don't know what they're doing either. I'm like, yeah, see, welcome to my world. But oh my gosh. So I'm here with Robert Gonzalez. And are you from San Antonio?
Yes, ma'am. All my life.
Your whole life. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And so you are 72.
Am I right? 74.
74. Make you younger. Well, you don't look 74 either. Absolutely. I'm really, really happy to have you. I know we've been trying to do this for a couple of weeks, and and those of you, I also record the video, so I put that on a YouTube channel. Which we'll get to that story in a moment. But I want to hear about your running journey because. I know that you just ran your first 50K at age 74. have you always been a runner, or how did that come to pass?
Okay, in the past, I started running like 5 and 10Ks when I was like maybe 30.
Yeah, okay.
And then for some reason, I just didn't do it anymore about as soon as I started running back again with Roxanne.
Okay.
Roxanne was the one that introduced me with Roadrunners.
Okay.
And then what she told me to do is you need to go back to running, Pop. I said, are you sure? I said, yeah, really start it off. So we started off as a walk to run
Okay.
with Max.
Okay.
And we started to doing that, but then I started getting I started getting really anxious for as what I'm looking for. And I said, I can do better than this, right? So they started walking, she started walking, and then she jogged a little bit. She did that interval thing, right? The 30, 30,
Oh, I love
whatever.
those. Yes. They're our
So,
friend.
right. So she started doing that, and then she says, "So you know what, Pop? I know you're frustrated. If you want to take off, take off." So I started taking off. So I started taking off, and she says, "Yo, you're doing it. Say hi."
Who's that?
That's my grandson.
Oh,
Say
hello.
hi.
How are you? I love your hair. I love your shirt and I love your hair.
She said, "Good."
Gorgeous. How old is he?
He's
Six.
six
Okay.
years old.
All
That's one of
right.
my
Nice looking kid.
that's yes, very he's one of my I would say my hobby, because if I'm not doing anything, I'm taking care of him, you know. So getting back to the running,
Yes.
all of a sudden the younger kids were there, and they were saying, "What is he doing?" He says, "I think he's running faster now." So he says, I started walking with them, with the whole group, right? And then they started doing their intervals, and then all of a sudden I just started taking off, and then they said, "Okay, there he goes again." So I started, taking off. So my daughter and I were still in a walk to run thing, and we ended up doing the half marathon
Ooh.
back in 21.
Okay.
So that was my first ever half marathon. I
And
never ran.
which one was this? What was
This
the
is the one of the rock and roll you
Oh
heard here in San
yeah.
Antonio.
Okay. Yeah. And how did you
And
do?
well, I did okay, but it was I was very tired and cramping up all the way to my waist. That's it. I was in bad shape, but I still finished it,
Well, that's good. That's good. That's the important part. So
yeah.
what was your finishing time?
It was I think it was like 14 per mile,
Okay, that's
14
good.
minute mile. Yeah. So how I get doing that, because I started being a fast runner. There's this lady, Christy Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a coach now,
Yes, she's
and
wonderful. Yes.
she would we were. We were we didn't even know each other, so we she started running with me, and we started doing intervals, and she started. He says, "Okay, we're," she told me, she says, "You know what? We're gonna do the half marathon." I said, "What?" I was stunned. I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, we're gonna do the half marathon." I said, "You think I can do it?" He says, "Yeah, you can do it. You'll do it. Don't worry." I was like stunned. I said, "Half marathon?" And then I asked her, "Well, half marathon? I didn't even know how far is that." I asked her that. She said, "It's 13 miles." I said, "What?" So I said, "Okay, we'll do it." I mean, we ended up we signed up, went to the photo place, and got the photos and this and that, whatever. And then when I In the last 2 miles, I was really struggling, really, really struggling. And she was there with me. And I told her, "You know what? You can go ahead and finish it off, because I don't think I can do it. I mean, I don't think I can be able to do it." He says, I'm not going anywhere. I said, yeah, you gotta finish. He says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm gonna finish with you and you're gonna finish it.
That's great.
I said, I know. I said, she was very enthusiastic. You know, she said, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to quit right now? Because I go ahead and tell you, you know what, go ahead and quit. She said, go ahead and quit. So I guess she used, she said, I guess she did the psychological move to where, okay, he's going to quit. And when she said that, I said, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going. So I finally kept on going, and she said, every post, mostly every post that we stopped on, she says, okay, go to that post and stretch your foot, you stretch your leg, and they keep stretching it until the cramp comes out, then you come back in the track. So I started doing that. I did it like three times before we went to the finish line. And she says, okay, we're going to make this turn. As soon as we make this turn, we're going to run. I said, what? He said, yes, we're going to run. He said, there's no finishing running without running. You have to run. I said, okay, we'll do it. And I was jogging and running and stuff, but struggling and everything. So Ryan, finally, we got it done. And I was like, I was so happy. I mean, there was so much joy in my heart that I said, man, I did a half marathon. I never would have thought that doing a half marathon would be like this that hard.
That's a hard one. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've never tried it. That's why. So how did it feel to finish, though? I mean, did you say to yourself, God, I'll never do this again? Or did you think?
No. I never said anything about, I'm not going to do this again. I never said anything. I said, I'm crazy to do this again. No, I said, you know what? I'm going to keep on going. Okay, and I give all credit to Christy, because she's the one that said, you know, you want to quit, go ahead and quit. I'm done with you. You know, I said,
that's okay, why she's I'm going to quit.
Okay, I'm not going to quit. I'm going. So, you know, that was the most important thing that ever happened while I was running with her, that she used that psychological deal saying, okay, quit. And I said, oh no, I'm not going to quit.
That's great. And
I kept on, I know.
Oh my God.
It felt real great. And I felt real proud of myself. And I really felt proud of her because she stood there and stuck it out with me and said, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to quit. You're going to come with me and you're going to finish with me. And we're going to finish running. And I said, okay, let's go.
You got it. You got to run across the finish line, even if it's struggling.
Yeah.
That's so great. I remember my first half marathon, and this was when I was living in the Rio Grande Valley, if you know where that is. Yeah. So it's really, thank God. But I hadn't really trained much for it. I think the most I'd ever run before was like 8 miles, which was really
fun. Right.
And so by mile 12, I was walking. I was just like, oh my God, you know. And then when I came in, it was okay. So they had a kid's fun run, like a 1 mile run or something that just starting just as I was coming into the arena to finish. And it was like, all these kids are running around me and everything. And it was really confusing. Yeah. And the big idea, you know, the big thing there was that they were going to announce my name as I came in, but there was so much chaos that they missed it. And I didn't even get a medal. I had to ask for it. And I told myself I would never do that again. And that medal, well, obviously I lied. Yeah. But that medal still hangs on my rearview mirror because that's like a symbol to me of, you know, things that you can when you don't.
Right.
Can.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry, my cat is starting to cry. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to pause this for one very quick second. I'm going to get some food. Sure. I will be right back. Sorry about this.
Okay.
We're back recording. I had to go feed my cat some treats.
Right.
Cry that, you know, he's like, and he's like 16. You'd think he'd know better. But
wow.
I know. I've had him since he was a baby. He's a Valley cat. Actually, I have two Valley cats. And because I've been in San Antonio since 2017. And
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they're
how do you like it here?
Oh, I love it. It's great. I mean, it's hard at first to get used to the running terrain because it's flat in the valley. It's at sea level. And so I really struggled when I got here because, I mean, I was already doing trail races, you know, up in the hill country. But I, you know, just the everyday training though was like, oh my God, we're at 800 feet of elevation or 1,000 or something. You know, I'm getting used to it. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. But anyway, so you did that half marathon. So then what was next?
Next was, I wasn't going to do any trail running. I didn't even think about that at all. So Roxanne, my daughter, she says, I'm going to do trail running. Oh, you want to do that? I said, okay, what do I have to do with that? He said, well, we're going to go out in the country. We go out. There's no roads. There's no cars. There's
not paved.
Yeah, not paved.
There's no people standing. There were signs.
No, yeah. It's all you're going to do it on your own. And it's out in the country. I told her, I said, okay, let's go ahead and do that. So I went in and signed up for that. And the first one that I did was Rocky Hollow.
Oh, yeah.
The 50, 25K. I did the 25K.
That's hard. I've done, well, when it was Alamo City Ultra, I did like twice. I did the 25K out there. I mean, I joke. Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, so when I did that one, my daughter was running just a 10, I think it was a 10K.
Uh-huh.
I think it's only one loop or something like that.
So you did the 10K at that one then?
Or you I did the 25. And she says, are you going to do the 25? She says, yeah, I'm going to do the 25.
It's a little more than a half. So yeah.
She says, I told her, I said, well, how many miles is that? I said, that's like 15 miles.
Yeah. Or maybe 16, depending on, you know, who the race director is.
depending on Kimberly, yes.
Oh my God, I know. So this was what, 2022 then?
Yes, I think it was 2022. Okay. Yeah.
So for those who don't know, I just want to explain this. Rocky Horror is a race that is put on by the San Antonio Off-Road Runners. I think Kimberly Abouchon is the race director for that, who's been on the podcast before. But Eisenhower Park is, we call it Baby Bandera. If you've ever been out, well, you've probably been out to Hill Country State Natural Area, right? Up in
Bend. Yeah.
So we refer to Ike and also Friedrich actually as sort of like Baby Bandera. It's a small city park, but oh my God, it is insane. Rocky, which is why it's called Rocky on Halloween. So people have a variety of distances. I think this just started a couple of years ago. And is it at night or is it during the day? I can't remember.
It's during the day.
Okay.
It's
good.
During the day. I've
never done, I haven't done that one yet. So
you haven't done that one?
No. Yeah. I forget why. I think sometimes I'm out of town for that for conferences or whatever. Uh-huh. So, we can do
but
it's an incredibly, I mean, yeah, it's just big honking rocks. It's steep.
Especially the
position the photographer as you're going through a really gnarly rocky section, and you're like, you know, I have a photo of me from Alamo City you know, a few years ago, where I looked like I was doing like show tunes. It was just sort of like one leg is coming down and the other arms are coming up like, hey, hello, my baby. It's so funny. How did you like that one?
I liked that one. I really liked it. I really love to go to Eisenhower. I usually just say, you know what, I'm going to take off and go to Eisenhower. Because I got the use of going uphill, and my legs at first, it was like I was struggling and I was hurting and this and that, whatever. But you know what you get. So now I love to climb anything that's high. You know, I love it because I know I'm going to develop my legs a lot stronger because you're carrying all your weight and then you're using your legs. And then there's another coach named what's your name? Ricky.
Oh yeah, yeah, Vicky Allen. Yes.
Yeah, Vicky Allen. I was doing the not doing the Rocky Horror, but I was doing the Eisenhower route. Mm-hmm. And she said, I noticed that when you get up and you go up on the rocks, especially on the stairs, you're using your upper body and stuff. And she says, don't do that. Use your thighs. She says, use your thighs. So keep on using your thighs. Don't use your upper body, because what you do is you waste your energy when you use your upper body and you're not using your legs. And she said, and I said, well, that makes sense, you know? So I started using my legs, you know, with the knees and everything, crouch up, you know, pick them up with your knees and your calves, and use your calves and everything, your thighs and everything. And you'll be much better when you start climbing up. You'll be used to getting climbing up higher like that, you know, going in an elevation. It says you'll get used to that and you'll feel better. And at the end of the run, you're tired, but you're not as tired as you are when you use your whole upper body and stuff, you know. So you just use your legs. And that's it. I said, man, that makes sense, you know. I said, that makes sense. And I told her.
I
told her earlier. I told her after we did that run, that small run that we did. She says, I told her, says, you know what? You know what you're doing when you're doing your runs. You know, you know exactly what to do, and that helped me out when you told me to use my thighs and my legs and my foot and my calves and everything, my ankles. Just use your muscles there instead of your upper body, because you won't get tired as much as you do when you use that instead of using your upper body. And I was like, I was very glad that she told me that. I was very awesome, because it helped me a lot with my
That's
running.
That's great. Yeah. I've never heard that advice, and I've been doing this for a little while. That's good. Yeah. I always learn, you know, there's always new things to learn. So that's good.
Right.
So after that 25K, then what happened?
After the 25, I started running those. I think it was the one of, what was the name of that? It's, I want to say the hookah. Or they did the dragon run.
Oh yeah, the guy that does the races over at Pearsall.
Right.
Woo-wee.
Yes. I did that one on Pearsall. That one was strenuous. It was, I mean, those hills are not fun.
No. Yeah, for people who don't know, Pearsall Park is in San Antonio. It's across from Lackland Air Force Base. And it is built on top of a landfill, and it has some pretty serious climbs. I mean, I just did the 10K out there in February with Angela and David, I think. And,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you might have been out there too.
Was it during the winter?
I'm sorry.
Was it cold that day?
Yeah, sort of. It was cold, but it wasn't horrible. I mean, it was February, so.
Yeah, because it rained a little bit, didn't it?
A little bit, yeah. So
yeah.
He had us going up these. I mean, I was just glad I wasn't doing like more than the 10K. Because I mean, he had us. I mean, I called them the Julie Andrews Hill, where it feels like music. Oh my God! Yeah, that was. Yeah, we were with Angela's daughter Riley. I guess she's 13, and yeah, she was kicking our butts.
We did that one. The last one that they did in February.
Yes.
And I did it with Angela.
Yes.
It was me and Angela and Christy. Not Christy, this Christy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's Christy. Right. You were ahead of us. That's right. You were ahead of us.
Yes, yes. And she,
yes. So I remember when we had that thing where you, the single track where you passed each other.
Right,
and I remember
being,
yes.
And I got first, I got first place on that one.
I'm sorry?
I got first place on that one.
That's amazing. Group. That's great. Congratulations. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun being in masters or, you know, in a certain
yeah.
I know when I first got into the masters when I was, you know, in my 50s, it was like there weren't very many people. And so like I'd be
right.
Even if there, I mean, there might be two of us out there, but I'd still play.
Right, exactly. That's
it was so much fun.
To me, that's an accomplishment. You're the only one. Hey. No one else is doing it, but I mean, yeah.
No, it's no one else has to know that stuff.
Yeah.
So, have you ever done any of the Tejas Trails races or trot?
Me and my daughter did once the one of the Tejas Trail.
Uh-huh.
The one where they have that pool. I think they have a pool there at the end of the run. You can go.
Oh, Reveille.
Yeah.
Clear Pandora's. Yeah. It's up in Boone. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they've got that.
Yeah. We did that one. We did the 10K, I think, on that one.
Yeah, that place is hard. That's like, I call that like on the moon, you know, because it's just like granite, you know, slab.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You just kind of, I saw a young guy out there. He broke his ankle running the 10K a few years ago.
Oh, I was like, okay, I'm gonna slow down
for this. Yeah. but anyway, I'm sorry. So you got through that one, and then what? Have you done the marathon yet?
The what?
The marathon?
No, I haven't done. Well, just I did it on the 50K.
That's exactly what I did. I did my first 50K, and then, you know, several years later I did my first marathon. Then, because it was out of Brazos, and even then it was like 28 miles.
What I'm saying is when I did this last one that we did, we're talking about I broke my arm, right?
All right, yeah. Let's talk about. Okay, let's. Yeah, but I don't want to cut to the chase too soon. So you were training earlier this year or last fall, I guess.
Right. I was training. Yes, exactly. Go ahead.
For the Prickly Pear 50K, which was your first 50K.
Okay.
Can I
say something?
Yes.
I was training for the 15K. from the beginning of the season.
I think I was in that group, but I never went
I was training for the 15K.
Oh my God. So what did you change?
The story is I was thinking about, I kept telling my daughter, says, you know what? You know, this 15K, I don't think it's challenging for me. So the next one is the 50K, right? And she says, I told her, I want to do the 50K. She says, what? She says, I want to do the 50K. She says, are you sure? She says, yes, I want to do it. She says, Pop, that's 30 miles, Pop. She says, yeah,
what?
I know.
31 point something, yeah.
Yeah. She says, do you really want to do it? He says, yes, I want to do it. He says, okay, let me talk. But she's a coach, too.
Okay.
She's a coach for them. So she talked to the coach and says, my dad wants to do the 50K. Can you do that? Because I was already registered for the 15K. He says, can you do that? He said, well, is there somebody that's not going to show up? No, at that time, it wasn't sold out yet. He said, sure. He said, okay, well, I'll just find out. If you want to do it, you can do it. So I started training for the 50K. But what happened there is that I was talking to Terry Alfaro. She said, Terry Alfaro?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. she's a coach,
right?
And she wanted to do the 50K, but I didn't even know that she was gonna do. She wanted to do it, right? So I told her. She says, Robert, I heard you're doing the 50K. You're gonna do the 50K? This is how it happened. This is how it happened. I said, if you do the 50K, I'll do the 50K.
Oh my God.
And she said, are you sure? And she said, yes, I'm sure. If you do the 50K, I'll go ahead and go do the 50K with you. And I said, what? I said, okay, let's do it. And that, I was just training for the 50K. And I wasn't even thinking about doing the 50K at mid-season, I started doing
exactly
for 50K. So as he said, okay, let's start training for the 50K. And every other the rest of the people, they're already doing the 50K training, running 12, 13, 14 miles every weekend or whatever. And I was just doing the 5 or the 10, and that's it, you know, a mid-season. So I said, I got to catch up now. You know, we got to catch up. So me and her started doing the running 10 miles, 12 miles, and this and that, until the end of the, till we started going to signing up for the, and then she said, Robert, I don't know if I can get in because I got to sign up. And there's no room because it's already sold out. I said, oh, man. Okay. So, yeah. So she said, okay, I'm going to put my name in there. She said, they told me to put my name in there. And then if somebody doesn't show up or is not going to do it, we'll go ahead and place you in there.
Oh, like a wait list. Yeah.
The wait list. Luckily, a week before the race, she got accepted. She got into the 50K.
Oh my God.
And I said, oh. So they said, okay, we're going to do this. So what happened is that on the day of the race, I got there on time. I was there on time and I was getting ready. And Christy and everybody else saying, okay, you got your stuff. You got what you want. You got what you need, your nutrition, whatever. And then she says, I told him, yes, I got it all here. And then I had, there's Olga Lakita.
Oh, yeah, Olga Lakita, yeah, or Lakita.
Yeah, yeah. And she said, what do you have for nutrition? He says, I don't know what to get. You know, I know how to do it. what is it that you like to eat? You know, I told her that. No, she asked me that. It's what is it that you like to eat?
And you hadn't trained like that.
No. And I said, well, I like barbacoa tacos. That's what I said. You can't have that, Robert. You can't have that.
Said, you can't have barbacoa out there.
So he said, no, what you need to do is get some sandwiches, put some peanut butter. If you want jelly, put jelly on it and cut them in fours and put them in a bag. And put them in your bag, in your backpack, or in your drinking pack. And then just do that, and do as many as you want, as you think you're going to need, do as many as you need, and then just put them on there, and we'll get them ready. So in the day of the race, when I got there on time, Christy got the bag, and she said, okay, let me check your bag. She just took my bag out like this. And she's like, okay, peanut butter, jelly sandwich, that's good. He says, and then everything, he says, the water is fine. You have pickles, yes. You have pickle juice, yes, that's good. So he says, I'm proud of you. She says, well, I didn't know what to do, you know. I got it at the last minute. She said, no, you're doing good, you're good. So she checked out the bag, and then put it on there, and I started getting ready. And she says, the first thing she said, he says, Robert, it's a 30-mile race. He says, the first thing you do is don't follow the runners. Because if you follow the runners, you're going to waste your energy and you're not going to be able to finish it. I said, okay, I won't. He said, you stay in the back, go way in the back, and wait for all the runners to take off. And you because what happens is when you take off with your runners, you waste your energy, and you're not thinking about conserving your energy. You're just thinking about, I want to finish this. You don't do that. Don't do that. I said, okay. So I stayed back, and then Terry wasn't there yet. She was still in tracker. She was stuck in tracker. Oh. And so I said, okay. Christy said, Terry's not here yet. So what you're going to do is you're going to walk. You're going to walk at least a half a mile or a mile, just walking. And until Terry catches you up with, you know, where you are, then you run with her. I said, okay, fine. So the starting starts, right? It starts, the race starts. And I'm all nervous, and I'm really down because I don't have Terry with me, and I'm going to do it on my own, and this and that, and I'm thinking all the negative stuff, right? So I said, you know, I'm just going to go. Christy says, don't worry about it. You're going to finish it. Don't worry about it. You're going to finish it. I know you can do it. You can do it. That was like, okay, I'll do it. He said, don't worry about it. Just do it. Don't rush it. If you feel tired, slow down, take your steps, keep going, but don't stop. Keep going, don't stop. So I told her, okay. So the race starts and the runners go, and I stay behind. And then all of a sudden people started behind me that were walking, started running.
Oh.
So what do I do? I start running with them, which Christy told me not to do, right? So the story is that when Roxanne and them and Christy and all of them were looking for me, Roxanne says, where's my dad? And Christy says, well, I guess he just took off. she said, that's okay. He's nervous. He's very nervous. He needs to do what he has to do. And if he gets tired, he knows he'll slow down. He'll slow down and he'll walk or whatever. He said, but it's just the adrenaline that's going on here right now. He thinks that he can do all the way, but he's gonna slow down. I know him. He's gonna slow down. He says, I've run with him before. If he's gonna go, he's gonna walk, and he's gonna walk his pace, and that's it. He said, but don't worry about it. So that I took off, and then by my sixth mile, I was running and I was going up, and all of a sudden I heard Robert. And I turned around, and it was Terry.
Oh my
Terry
God.
Terry caught up with me. I said, that's you, Robert? I said, yeah, that's me. That's you, Terry? I said, yeah, that's you. That's me. I said, okay, let's go. So that really helped me out, because I was getting really frustrated and really, like, not feeling good because she's not with me and nobody's going to run with me and this and that. And I was afraid to get lost. So no. What was happening when the lights, when we had the headlights, a group of people would pass me, and then I would follow them, and then they would just go, keep going, and I would slow down, and then another group would come behind me. So I would just step up with them, you know, and that's how I didn't get lost, because I was just following the people that had the lights on, you know, and it was still dark. You know, it was still dark.
Oh, you didn't have a headlamp?
I had a headlamp.
Okay, good.
But I was staying in between the groups.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, so that catching up with them, you know, so finally they like came out, and that's when Terry met me. That's when Terry met me. He said, okay, let's go. So we're taking off, and we did the first loop, right? And everybody was saying, wow, this is good time for you guys. You guys are doing good. He says, you guys are doing great. You're not slow at all. And the people that were thinking about doing, you know, getting in front of us, they were still back and back behind us, like 3-4 miles behind. And that's it. Yeah, so there was a group called the Pod group, and they were turning to go fast, but they were right behind, they were behind us like 3 or 4 miles. And he says, "You guys are doing great, so just keep it up. Don't stop. Just keep. If you're gonna slow down, walk your pace, and then if you like to keep running, keep going. So me and Terry just kept doing that, and then. But that when we got to the second loop, we were going to the second loop. We weren't there yet. I called Christy and I told her, tell my granddaughter to go to my car and get my pole, my walking pole, my walking stick. Right? She said, get my pole. Yeah, because I was feeling it on my legs. They were getting tired.
They help. Yeah.
I know. It does help. So I said, tell them to go get me my poles, because I'm gonna need them on my last loop. You know, it's my last loop. That's it.
How many loops is Prickly Pear? Is it 3 or 4?
It's 3. It's 3.
I couldn't remember.
It's 10 miles. It's 10 miles each. Ten something.
Gotcha.
10 miles each. So when I was in the second loop, she says, okay, you got to do your nutrition. And then I had two pieces of sandwiches on my back, because Chrissy was there. As soon as I got there, she said, take off your pack. And she was checking my pack. Okay. She was checking whether I was eating or not, right? And she says, okay, he's not eating. He better eat. You gotta get your energy. You better eat.
It's hard to do, though, isn't it? Yeah.
I know. She says, you better eat, because you gotta eat. She said, you take these sandwiches and eat them right now.
Oh, I get it.
I said, okay, I'll eat them. And I was like, okay. She said, it's gonna help you. She said, it's gonna help you. Don't worry, but you gotta eat them. I said, all right, I'll eat them. He said, then you need some of the water, right? He said, yeah. So he put the water in there and everything, put the backpack bag, put all my stuff that was in there. He says, you got two more of those pickle juice bottles? He says, you drink them on your way out. Okay. I don't want them for when you come back on your last loop. She was like getting after me, you know. Okay. So I took the bag and I had the poles and everything. And then I took off. And then we were like in the ninth, wait. Yeah, we were like in the eighth mile to the last loop. Seven or eight mile to the last loop. And Olga met me. She went and joined me. And she says, okay, Robert, I'm going to help you out from here on out. I'm not going to go when you finish it, but I'm going to help you from here on out. I said, okay. So I was using my poles, and she's always a fast runner. She's a fast runner. So I was trying to, she was in front of me, but every time she was moving her feet. She wasn't walking. So I was walking with my pole fast. So when I tried to take off, on that last, very last loop, it was my 27th mile. And I went and I tripped. And when I tripped, I was like, all of a sudden, I knew I was out of control. And I just hit the dirt. I hit the dirt hard, face first.
Oh,
face first. And
thank God you didn't lose any teeth or anything.
I know. So when I went there, I went down, and all I heard was say, "Oh, Robert," and it was all gone. He says, "Robert, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I think so. I'll be okay." So when I turned around, she says, "Oh my God, don't move." She says, "Do you want to get up?" I said, "No, let me stay here for a little bit." She says, "I want to get up, but I can't get up right now." So she says, "Okay." And then Sherry was like maybe 15 to 20 meters ahead of us. And she heard me fall down. She heard something fall down. And she ran back. And Nora says, "Jerry, come back." So she ran back. And luckily, Jerry had a double shirt on. She had a shirt and then another shirt on top of that. So what she did, she took the top shirt off and wrapped it around my head. Because I had a gash right here. Right on the side of my forehead. Right,
I remember seeing the picture, yes.
Yeah, on top of the lid, on top of my eyelid. So she said, "Go ahead and wrap it around him and tighten it up because he's bleeding." You know? And I said, "I don't want to hear this." And I said, "That's another goal." He said, "Okay, we're going to help you up. We're going to help you get up." He says, "Okay." So Olga got my right hand and she helped me out. And then Terry tried to get my left hand. And I said, "Wait a minute. I can't do it." I said, she says, "What?" He says, "I can't do it. I can't get up." He says, "I can get up, but I got to use my right hand all the way up to get up." So they both used my right side to get up. And I pulled myself up and I was up. And then they said, "So what's wrong?" He says, "I don't know. I don't have any strength on my left arm. I can move it, but I can't extend it. And I can't do anything with it. I can't put weight on it when I have the phones on there to pull myself up. It hurts." And she says, "Oh man." He says, "So well, what do you want to do?" He says, "Well, let's go." I told her, "Let's go." He says, "You still want to go?" He says, "Yeah, I want to finish this." And this was the 28th mile.
Oh.
And yeah, she says, "Are you sure you want to finish it?" "Yes, I want to finish it. Just patch me up and let's go." And she says, "Okay, let's go." So she had that shirt around me, and I started going with my poles and this and that. And Olga was still behind me. And then Terry was still ahead of us. And while she was going on the 29th mile, the 29th mile, she started yelling, "Robert, 29. I said, "What? 29. He says, "29 miles. I said, okay. And then on the 30th mile, she says, "Robert, 30 miles. I said, "What?" 30 miles, Robert. I said, "Good, okay, this is the last one. We're done." He said, "Yes, we are. Let's go." And then all I'm going to say, "Wow, Robert, I can't believe this. You're hurting. You're hurting and you're still finishing this thing." He says, "I'm so proud of you." He says, I'm so proud that I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm proud to do this, you know. I'm very proud to finish. I want to finish it. This is what I want to do. I want to finish it." So she says, "Okay, let's go." So we started going. And then on the last, we got it. Oh, Blood Creek, there's a water stop there. There's a water stop there. And then she says, "Do you have any band-aids?" Olga says, "Do you have any band-aids? Do you have any gauze, anything that can help his head?" He says, "No, man, we don't have any of that." He said, "All we have is water. And that's it." He says, "Well, do you have?" And then she looked on the table, out on the table. And I'm very embarrassed to say this. But she said, "Is that a tampon?" And then he says, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "Can I have that?" "Oh, yes, yes, yes. Can I have that?" He says, "Okay." So she started tearing it up. She took the string out, started tearing it up, opened it up, and put that gauze right underneath my shirt banded, headband that Terry had put on there. She put it on there and it stopped the bleeding. It stopped the bleeding. Well, this is, okay, Robert, I'm sorry. I know you're embarrassed, but you're gonna need this, okay? So we can stop the bleeding. And it worked. It worked. And it was like, so that as soon as we make that turn, we finished the mud creek, and she started yelling the 30 miles and this and that, whatever. When we got to the last mile, she says, we got to that last turn that you go back, and then you go through the entrance to get the turnaround, do the final, do the finishing, right? So I still had my poles. So when I had my poles, I said, I'm not going to use my poles. So I started running. I started right at that turn right there. I started running. And then David saw me with my poles. He says, all right, Robert. He says, give me those poles. He took my poles away. He says, he knew I wanted to finish running. So I kept on running. I finished to the end of the run. And then I was just like so glad that everybody there was waiting for me. You know, it's like, it was very touching because everybody was there. Everybody was like waiting for me. It really made me so happy. But I was so out of it that I didn't even think about that at all. And now that I'm talking about it, it's like a very warm welcome. Like everybody was like there, and what's his name? Robbie De La Rosa.
Oh yeah, said, yeah, Robbie. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, you know what, Robert? You broke everybody else's heart when you got there. You broke everybody's heart. You know, it's like. You did something that no one would ever have thought had done, you know, at 74, and you broke your arm. Because you broke your arm, and you still ran, finished and running it. You know, that was something.
Insane.
That's insane, exactly. That's insane. Oh. You know, so I said, I told him, brother, I needed to finish it. One way or the other, I was going to finish it.
And it's a PR.
Yeah.
What was your finishing time?
I don't know, but I think it was at, I don't know what the finishing time was, but I finished around, my daughter said it was like 2:30.
Okay, I can look it up. It's not a big deal, but I just thought I'd ask. Yeah. So then you went to the doctor.
Yeah. When I sat down, and I had heard that, not during the run, but after the run, I had heard that Terry was telling everybody that get the TMS technicians there, get some gauze there, get some water. Get some stuff because they asked me, who hurt? And she probably told them that I was the one that was hurt. But she didn't want to say anything. Don't tell Roxanne over here that he fell. Because he's going to be really, really upset. She said, don't tell him. So that's what they did. They didn't tell her. She was like, what's going on? What's going on? She said, oh, nothing. It's just that it's a little bruise. Something happened, a little bruise. You know, and they didn't want to tell her that was something that was, I had a broken arm and I scraped my head and I had a gash on my head. And they didn't want to tell her that. And she knew something was wrong with me. She knew it, but she didn't want to say anything. And so after that, they sent me down, the EMS technician there, what's his name? Chris. Chris, the EMS technician. He's one of the help people that help the people when they finish to they're heat dehydrated or they're fainting or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He went. Chris Daniel, I think it's like Daniel or something like that. Anyway, he said, "Okay, let's see your wound." So he opened the wound. Okay, he needs to go get stitched. And I said, because I wanted to stay and celebrate, right? And he says, "What's wrong with your arm?" He says, "Well, I've had this problem before because the left arm, I couldn't extend it as much as I extend this one. Okay, so it only goes like that before the line. Okay, before the line. So he says, well, can you extend it further up?" And I tried to do it. I said, "No, I can't do it." He says, "Okay, you need to go to the emergency room. You can't stay here. You gotta go." So I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "First of all, you have a big gash on your hip." He says, "I already checked on you for your concussion protocol." He said, "But there's nothing there that tells me that you're on concussion. You had a concussion, but your gash needs to be stitched and your arm needs to be checked on because you can't extend it. You can't move it." And I said, "Okay." So she says, you need to get, Roxanne said, "Okay, I'm going to go get the truck and I'm going to pick them up," and they make way there to, I mean, were you there? Yeah, they make way to get the truck in there. And when I got out, I got up and they started holding me up and I said, I think I can walk. So I started walking, on my own and this and that. And when I got there from the door to the truck, before I got there, Christy comes out behind me and she turns me around and gives me this great hug that I was like, "How happy it is." You know, she gave me a real good hug and she said, "Since everything's going to be all right, Robert, don't worry." She said, "You'll be back. But you take care of yourself." And it was like, that was it. I told her, "I want to thank you for everything that you've done. You've done a lot. You helped me out. And you told me that I was going to finish it. And I did." You know? And he says, "You did a good job. So you go out there and take care of yourself and get this stuff going, get it fixed up, and come back." And I said, "Okay." I got in the truck, and then the photographers were there, and everything was taking pictures. And I don't know who they were, but they were taking pictures, me taking off on the car and the truck and this and that. And my daughter says, we were in the truck. She's running. She says, "Dad, you are awesome. You are so awesome that you did a 50K. You did a 50K. What's
it's amazing.
Yeah. So when I went to the emergency room, they took me in. They said they took X-rays. They had the X-rays on there, and they started cleaning up my gash, but it had dirt. I mean, that hurt really, really hurt. He said, "I got to clean that thing. I got to clean the dirt off because I don't want to close it when the dirt's in there." He said, "Okay." So he started cleaning it off, took the dirt off. And instead of stitches, they glued it up. They used glue to glue it up. So that he put a band-aid on there. And then the arm, he says, "Okay, we're going to put you on splints because I talked to the doctor. To an orthopedic, and he says he wants you to put you on a split, and we'll have you there, and we'll get an appointment for you to see him within 2 weeks or a week, and after that we'll go from there." So After that, I went to the doctor. He said, he gave me two choices. He says, you can get your surgery now if you want it, and you'll extend your arm as soon as possible. But if you don't feel like you wanna go ahead and see if it works out without the surgery, we can do that. But we have to wait when you come back for another appointment and check it out, see if it's doing okay. And when I went the second time around for his appointment, he says, okay, you've had your sling for 3 months. I mean, 3 weeks. And it's going on for almost a month, and there's no progress on your arm. You can't extend it anymore. So you can't extend it at all. So it's up to you. You want surgery? I said, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. So that's what he did. He did the surgery on there.
On Eclipse Monday, by the way.
yeah. So he said, what he did, Doc, when I go back, he'll explain it to me more. But what he did, he put a plate on my elbow bone.
Elbow, yeah.
And put screws on it, and then just left it like that. And then it, right now, as you can see, my hand, it's a little swollen, but not that much.
Yeah.
Because it was worse. It was like one of my granddaughters, she looked at my hand, and it was funny because she says, Papa, he said, you know what? You have a baby hand. What? He said, yes, baby. You have a baby hand. Yeah, because they go, like they have these tongue cups, what they call them. It was puffed. It was puffed up. It was, like a baby head.
That's
cute. Yeah. But no, it's coming down a little better. And it's really, I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that at all. It was hurting. Every time I do that, it would hurt.
That's good.
It would come down, come up, or even pick it up like this, it would hurt. But it's doing better, a whole lot better. And I'm very glad that it's doing that. Because they put you on anesthesia, and all the anesthesia goes in there. And the whole arm is inflated like a balloon. Oh, I don't like this. He said, don't worry about it. Time will go away. So now I can take the sling off.
Oh, that's good.
You can see the arm. It's already like...
Ooh. See? Poor thing.
Yeah. So it was worse than that. It was like this big.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So what do the doctors say in terms of your recovery? How long are we looking at?
He said from 4 months to 6 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah,
and no running.
Well, he—that's what I'm going to ask him this time around. He said I could walk, but depending on how I guess, depending on, we're all different, I guess. Depending on how my body reacts to the physical therapy when they give it to me, you can run sooner than later, But for now. Like I told him, I want to walk. He said, you can walk. You can do as much walking as you can. Because your injury is not in your legs. Your injury is in your heart. And we don't want you to start running and then you fall again and you hurt yourself. Yeah, so you got to be safe. You have to be safe. Said, okay, I'll do that. But you can walk. So for now, I can walk.
That's great.
Yesterday I walked with my daughter. And Angela, over at what is it?
Hardberg.
Where did we walk yesterday?
Going to the canyon.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you all have hair?
Yeah, we went
down. Are you in the front country though?
We went to what was the trail?
It was recharge trail.
We did 5 miles on that one.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's hard out there. I would do the front country. but that sounds like you. That sounds like what you would do.
Yes.
That's so awesome. So let's just say that 6 to 8 months from now, you're healed up, you're feeling good. What do you think you're going to do? Is there a bigger goal, or are you just going to kind of do the 50K? Is it?
I'm really thinking about getting a buckle. So I'm just thinking of getting a buckle because that's like maybe 100 miles or something like that, or 75K or something like that.
What about like Snowdrop? That might not be bad.
Oh really?
Yeah, Snowdrop, that's over New Year's weekend, okay? And so, or New Year's, I guess this year it doesn't fall on a weekend, but anyway, and I've tried this twice, and I actually have a relay team this year because I've given up on that. But flat, it's outside of Houston. It's at this little park in Missouri City, which is outside of Houston, but you go in circles, okay? And it's Children's Cancer Research. You get 55 hours. That might be your hundo. That might be the
Okay.
And there's nothing to trip over. I mean, there shouldn't be.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because I think Christy told me about that one.
Yes. And right. I think Nevin may have done it. And
Nevin went so far. I think she did 100.
Yes. Yes. Year. And there's people I know that have done 150 out there. I mean, the hardest part for me though was the mental thing, is just like that going around in circles. Right. And then I think if you have your mind right, which you sound like you do, that might be that. And it's a beautiful buckle. I have friends that have got, and that might be the one for you to think about. So,
That's a good, I think there's no way you could trip over or hit a rock or whatever. It's just like a track, you know?
I would recommend probably doing a 50 miler before you try a 100 miler. That's just advice. Brazos is a really good 50 miler. It's a little soul crushing just because it's a lot of like three loops, but it sounds like you're okay, but it's very flat and you get plenty of time to do it. And it's in December, I think. And so you got to worry about the alligators, but that's about it. It's not bad. Sometimes, you know, it's weird. I've done the 50 miler out there. I've tried it twice. I've finished it once. One time it was really cold and wet, and my feet were wet the whole time. Ugh, it was gross. But then another time it was like in the 80s, and so it was really hot. And then, so it can be kind of anything. It's like the first weekend in December, but that's a good one for a 50 miler, I think.
Right. Just advice,
you know, not like.
That's my goal, is to get up buckle. That's what I want.
That's exciting. No, I'm so excited for you, because it's like me, I'm just kind of like, I don't care if I get a buckle at this point. I'm just like, you know, but that's good. Well, you've been at this a little less longer than I have. And so I think maybe I'm a little bit burned out from it. I don't know.
I get that.
But no, I look forward to following your journey and whatnot. So, So is there anything else you would like to tell me about? I was going to ask you also, how old is your daughter?
Maybe 10. Mika, how old are you?
She's 39.
39. Okay, good. I figured she was in her 30s, but I wasn't sure. don't worry about it.
I'm going to try to put this on.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You got to put it back
on. Damn it, handicap.
Thank you, Roxanne. Hey, nothing on your own. Putting his headphones back on. Oh.
Okay.
All right. So I'm sorry. I was asking you a question and then I asked you another question. Is there anything else you would like to tell me or let me know about?
Listen, I told you about the doctor and this and that. Well, for now, I'm just waiting for the doctor to tell me, okay, you can go run, but take it easy, whatever. But I'm helping out the road runners, off road runners, this season for the 5K.
Okay. 5K runners. Oh, like a mentor?
A mentor, exactly. So I'm going to be mentoring them, and I'll be doing that this season. And I don't know. There's something quite crazy about me. I'll do something on the Rocky Horror. I don't know. Maybe just do one loop, I guess. I don't know.
I love that you're not willing, that you're not ready to quit or anything like that.
No, I think that's,
to me, that's very inspiring.
I'm not thinking about quitting. I'm not thinking about when am I going to stop doing this. So many injuries that I've had before this injury. I had a foot injury. I had two foot injuries. One, the same foot on the side right here. Mm-hmm. The bone that's holding the small toe.
So uh-huh.
It broke. It fractured.
Okay.
So the doctor says there's no surgery on that. It needs to be healed. So that got healed. And then I had a toe injury. So I had to check on that. And they checked on that and said, Mr. Gonzalez, you have a fracture on top of the nail, underneath the nail.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
So you can even do that.
Yeah. So he says, so what do we do? I mean, is surgery there? He says, no surgery. It needs to be healed.
Just deal with it. Yeah. Well, funny story. Okay, I don't know if you can see my hand, but my hand is kind of weird. Yeah, so I was a course marshal at Prickly Pear, and so, which was what, like a month ago? And mm-hmm. I had like a water bottle in one hand and my phone in the other, and I don't know, I still haven't gotten an x-ray, but I mean, everything works, but it's just terrible. But I'm just so I get that feeling. And I still have a bruise here, so I'm just like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Losing it, you know. So yeah, getting old is fun. But we keep doing it, and I guess that's the important. So anyway.
It's like the old Rolling Stone. What a drag it is getting old.
I'm sorry?
The old Rolling Stone song, What a Drag It Is Getting Old. There's a song that they made. What a drag it is getting old.
That's exactly right. Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh, Robert, it was such a joy to talk to you. Hang on real quick. I'm going to stop our recording.
All right. Well, I hope you found that incredibly inspiring. I know I did, and I feel kind of embarrassed that I don't want to go back and try a 100-miler again, but I'm not gonna. I know myself, and I just know that I think that little ship has sailed, tugboat, whatever. but it was really fun talking to him. Very inspirational person, and So I guess the bottom line is it's never too late, and you shouldn't let something like a broken arm and surgery to hold you back from doing those things and wanting to aspire to bigger things in the future. So that's that. What else is going on here? You are now listening to the advisor for the second place winner of Best Student Magazine in the state of Texas. Woo! Yes, this past week, Thursday through Saturday, I was in San Marcos for the annual Texas Intercollegiate Press Association competition. This is where students from all over the state get together, and it's kind of a geek fest for journalism students, really. They compete in live contests. I judged a couple of them, and what else did I do? I did some critiques, for me it was late. This was Friday evening, and I think I went from like 8:30 until 10 p.m., which again, for me, it was like, oh my God, I'm ready for bed by 8 o'clock most nights. But anyway, well, yeah, sometimes, most of the time. Anyway, but it was kind of cool because I got to critique the Pulse magazine, the magazine of University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley, which is where I came from before arriving in San Antonio. Those of you who have know me know that backstory, but those kids were really fun to talk to, and it's always so strange because I really am of two hearts when I'm at this competition, because I still a big piece of my heart belongs in the Valley, and I was there for 13 years, and I didn't leave because I was unhappy or anything, but I thought it would be kind of cool to try something else, and so I did, and here, that's where I'm at. And incidentally, this is so strange, but Pulse magazine won first in the state. So I don't know. I don't take credit for any of that, but I do think it's kind of cool. But anyway, and I think this is their first time getting first place for that award. I know my publication got it 2 or 3 years ago, and then last year we just kind of washed out. I don't know what happened, and then this year we came in second. So it's kind of fun, but yeah. And then I met some other students from Dallas College to critique their magazine, and there, I just had one guy from the magazine, and then I guess the other four were from their newspaper, and we all they were there just kind of moral support for him. And they were so cool. I really enjoyed talking to them. In fact, on Saturday, as I was getting ready to leave, they all spotted me and they come up and they're hugging me and stuff. And I'm like, hey. But yeah, these things are, they're really intense, these contests. And then they have what they call a previously published contest that you have to enter that in December, which is where we send in the magazine and some other entries from our previous issues. And that's how we won our prizes. My school did really well, especially the student newspaper website. I don't even know how many awards they got, but it just felt like, I think a couple of our students, they were going to probably need like another vehicle to bring home all the certificates, because they were just racking them up hand over fist, which was really kind of fun to watch. Anyway, yeah, so that was that. And then, I did run yesterday, went over to my favorite little park, Hard Burger, and got in just under 3 miles, and felt pretty good, except my hip was starting to bug me again. But I don't know. I guess I'm just going to have to deal with that as time goes on. And I think I'm going to go out and run again this morning. So hey, but yeah, because I got to get back to this. If I plan to do a 50K in November, that's going to be around the corner here. We're looking at 7 months. And so I got to get myself in gear to, tackle that and do it without, struggling. And then, as I mentioned, I think in my last episode, my friend Jessica and I are holding each other accountable. And I was midway through my run, and she texted me and showed me her watch that she had done 5 miles yesterday. Of course, she had a really good pace. It was like short, just under 11 minutes, you know, or whatever. It was like 10:45, which is good. I mean, I can't remember the last time I ran that. Well, I do. It was when I lived in the valley and I was more consistent, but it's also very flat in the valley. So I always chalk up my struggle with running here because it is, we start at, you know, 800 to 1,000 feet of elevation, you know, just to begin with. And I don't know, after 6.5 years of living here, you'd think I'd be used to it by now. I sort of am. But anyway, and I also didn't fall yesterday, so I was proud of myself for that. Yeah, so, and then this weekend, although they are calling for quite a bit of rain on Saturday, so I'm not sure how this is going to go, but the San Antonio Rockhoppers group, they are, again, they're known for doing all these wild, goofy events. They are doing the Hippie Hill Challenge on Saturday, 4:20, which they've got two divisions this year. There's the, they call it the full bowl, which you run for 4 hours and 20 minutes up and down this hill up in the Stone Oak neighborhood. It's an interesting hill. It used to be a lot more fun to run it because it was like half trail, half like paved sidewalk. But the Killjoys up in Stone Oak decided to pave it all over. And so now it's not quite as fun. You don't get any trail experience in there. But it's literally a half mile up and a half mile down. So you just kind of, you do that over and over again. Hill repeats. So you can do that for 4 hours and 20 minutes. Nah. Or you could do the, what is it called? Half-baked. Which is 2 hours and 20 minutes, which I think I'm going to do. And yeah, just run up and down. And, you know, and even if it's raining, who cares? You know, because we're in spring, it's warm. I don't really care about running in rain now. It's like, I just don't like cold rain. Ugh. But yeah, I think my record out there is 10 miles or, you know, 10 repeats. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm going to get this weekend, but I'll report back on that next week. Yeah, and outside of that, I'm still looking for people to be on my Flying Chanclas relay team for the Snowdrop 55-hour race and relay. We are the relay. I think I've got maybe one or two people who have committed to this thing, and I need at least six more, or maybe five more, yeah, so I can, because I do not want to be, well, you have to have a minimum of six. But they say, you know, eight is probably a better number, which makes more sense because I like doing 2 hour shifts. So if you're feeling, you know, like you want to get a bite out of something different, then please let me know. I will send you the info. And it's for great causes, for children's cancer research and scholarships for cancer, childhood cancer survivors. Yeah, pretty cool. And again, you go around a, again, it's over New Year's Eve day, and it's 55 hours, and it's about a 3/4 mile loop, okay? And it's at this little county or city park in Missouri City, which is outside of Houston Flat, and you just go in circles, and they do change directions from time to time, like every 6 hours or so, so people aren't, you know, trashing one side of their body. And as I've mentioned earlier, you get really good meals at mealtime. You can sleep. I do recommend sleeping. I'm a big fan of sleep. although I do like running, hiking in the middle of the night. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, it's the only time you'll get me to stay up all night. so yeah, take me out to a trail race. So I think that's basically all I've got right now. So I will see you next time. Have a great week.